From Maine Public Radio and mainepublic.org, I'm Robbie Feinberg with the news on this day in Maine, Tuesday, July 30th, 2024.
This Day in Maine is made possible by Now You're Cooking, celebrating 24 years of selling cookware, kitchen tools, gadgets, and fine wine on historic Front Street in downtown Bath, open 7 days a week.
The Maine Department of Corrections says that it's located both of the young males who escaped from the Long Creek Youth Development Center late last week. The department says one of the men was arrested in Georgetown, Massachusetts early on Tuesday morning after crashing a stolen vehicle. The other was arrested in Biddeford at around 11:45 a.m. after police said he fled the scene of a hit and run with a stolen vehicle. Law enforcement had been searching for the two suspects since Friday night in connection with the escape. Police say that minutes after responding, they received a report of a robbery nearby and two people fleeing the scene in a stolen Honda Civic. Maine Senator Susan Collins is criticizing President Biden's recent reform proposals for the U.S. Supreme Court. Kevin Miller reports.
On Monday, Biden unveiled a suite of proposals that would, for the first time, impose term limits on Supreme Court justices and create an enforceable ethics code. But Collins said Tuesday there was, quote, absolutely no chance that Biden's proposals are going anywhere in the current Congress. Republicans control the House of Representatives, and while Democrats have the slimmest of majorities in the Senate, they would need some Republican support to overcome a filibuster. Collins, one of the most moderate Republicans still in D.C., made clear that she won't back the president's plans.
It disturbs me greatly that he is proposing term limits on Supreme Court justices because that weakens the independence of the judiciary and I think shows a lack of respect for the judicial branch.
Independent Senator Angus King, who caucuses with the Democrats, has not yet weighed in on Biden's reform proposals. But last year, King teamed up with Republican Senator Lisa Murkowski of Alaska on legislation proposing that the Supreme Court create a code of ethics. Meanwhile, Democratic Representative Shelley Pingree of Maine's 1st Congressional District said Tuesday she had signed on to a proposed constitutional amendment to limit presidential immunity, as Biden had proposed. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Kevin Miller.
Secretary of State Shenna Bellows has announced the order of the five ballot questions that Maine voters will consider this fall. Question 1 proposes a $5,000 cap on contributions to political action committees that make so-called independent expenditures during campaigns in Maine. Questions 2, 3, and 4 are all bond measures, proposing $65 million in borrowing for research and development, restoration of historic buildings, and for trail construction and maintenance. And Bellows says the fifth and final ballot measure asks voters whether they want to replace Maine's current state flag with a version featuring a pine tree and a blue star.
We're 98 days away from Election Day. Get ready, check your voter registration, register to vote now, don't wait, and get ready to vote in November.
The campaign to block Maine from participating in the National Popular Vote Compact didn't submit petition signatures in time to qualify for the ballot. Undocumented immigrants in Maine contribute more than $15 million in state and local taxes, according to a new study published Tuesday by the Institute on Taxation and the Economy. The authors also suggest that those contributions could increase if undocumented workers had access to legal employment. Ari Snyder reports.
The study found that undocumented immigrants in Maine would contribute an additional $4 million a year in state and local taxes if they were legally allowed to work. The authors say that's in part because people with work authorization tend to earn more than those without it. James Mile, with the left-leaning Maine Center for Economic Policy, which was not involved in the study, says one way to help more immigrants access legal employment is for Congress to allow asylum seekers to get work permits more quickly.
Making sure that those folks can start working as soon as possible, so that they have less need for public assistance, and are able to contribute sooner.
Nationally, the study finds undocumented immigrants paid close to $100 billion in federal, state, and local taxes in 2022. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Ari Snyder.
Tenant advocates in Maine are puzzled by an apparent drop in eviction filings of nearly 30% through the first 6 months of the year. Excluding the first few years of the pandemic, when a national moratorium limited evictions, the roughly 2,200 filings are the lowest in the state since at least 2010. Maureen Boston, the director of intake for Pine Tree Legal Assistance, says the reported trend doesn't match up with what's happening on the ground. She says her organization has received about 1,500 calls about eviction-related issues this year, only about 100 fewer than 2023.
From our perspective, the need with help with eviction work still is exceeding our capacity. And so we're still getting more calls from people who need help with eviction-related issues than we're able to provide them the full level of service that they're looking for.
Maine's one-night annual point-in-time count showed fewer people experiencing homelessness, which Maine Housing largely attributed to the end of pandemic-era funding for emergency motel room stays. The agency said that the number of people without shelter, in traditional shelters, and in transitional housing all remain elevated, and many have returned to informal arrangements for housing needs, such as couch surfing or doubling up with a friend. New ferry rates to islands throughout Casco Bay will stay in effect as the Maine Public Utilities Commission on Tuesday declined to formally investigate the fares that were implemented earlier this summer. The new rates increased ticket prices for day trippers by more than 80%, while lowering the cost of monthly and yearly passes. But they were challenged through a 50-person petition spearheaded by part-time Peaks Island resident Andrew Dukas, who described the rates as outrageous and unfair to visitors. The PUC rejected that petition. The commissioners say changing the ferry service's rate structure is within the district's authority and noted that the majority of comments the commission has received support the new rates. The Wabanaki Nations will now be able to contract with Acadia National Park to collect sweetgrass, which is used in tribal ceremonies and basket making. The National Park Service prepared an environmental assessment and found that the gathering of sweetgrass, which grows in salt marshes, would have no significant impact. Acadia Superintendent Kevin Schneider says that this is a critical step in, quote, preserving and protecting the park through co-stewardship with the Wabanaki tribes and providing space for Wabanaki citizens to heal and reconnect with their homeland. And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org. And coming up on Maine Calling at 11 o'clock on Wednesday morning, the subject is air conditioning and the benefits and harms of AC in a warming world. I'm Robbie Feinberg. Thank you for listening.